Good evening, and welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and tonight I'm interviewing Veronica McHugh, and we are actually talking about what's behind the masks. Do you wear a mask in different contexts? Do you put on airs to let people know who you are? We're going to see how that's good and when it doesn't serve us tonight. So, Veronica.
Hello, Dan.
Good to have you here tonight.
Thank you.
So, talk to me about masks. Are they always good? Are they always bad? Are they sometimes very one or the other?
Well,
how's that for a judgmental?
First of all, yes, exactly. I don't think that they're a question of so much good or bad, especially if I'm not even aware that I'm perhaps trying to project something which is not necessarily me, that is not necessarily authentic, or I'm playing to the audience because I feel that this is what they expect or that this is what they will approve of, etc.
Mm-hmm. So when you're going for what you think the audience would approve of, in a funny way, you're doing that at the sacrifice of a little authenticity, is that right?
Perhaps.
Yeah, but on the other hand, maybe the greater good is that we would do this. When I step up in front of a class in my role as professor, I really do expect the class to pay attention.
As you should. That this is, there's an agreement between you that they're there because they need the professor. And, you know.
So does our masks sometimes give us permission to act in certain ways?
Of course it does.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, you can even act in certain ways, and I'm sure you find this even as you're teaching your students, that you are enjoying it. In other words, you're entertaining yourself with it, and you have an engaged audience, but you're still, you know what you're doing, and there's no wrong intention or malice or anything else, but it's to keep them engaged, so it's fine.
So it's
a little
like
bit of showmanship is okay.
Yeah. That's good. I'm feeling better already. So within the mask, though, it seems to me that maybe one of the dangers is we forget that that's not the real us.
Yes, and I think more than because masks suggest that you're being false. Perhaps a preferable word would be roles. And so that we have variety roles that we play during the day when you have to be the professor, you're the professor, but you can't be the professor with your son, you know. He wants you to be dad, and likewise the son or the good citizen, whatever it happens to be. So these are variety roles, and you're very conscious of who it is that is playing each role, so it's not bad.
Yeah. You made me think in that creating roles is within bullfighting, the matadors put on their suit of lights. And that is, I've watched them in documentaries, and I realize that there's almost a meditation. Well, there's always prayer before the bullfights and those things, but there's almost a meditation as they go through the various things as they become the matador.
Yes.
Where they move from, you know, maybe young Spaniard to the matador.
I was thinking this last weekend I was with a lot of people in the media. We were together for a summit, Images and Voices. And perhaps this is something that is across the board. I wouldn't instantly think of a matador in that context of a meditation or a prayer, nor necessarily the media. But yet, for each one, like your profession or whatever, perhaps there is a sacred element to all of them.
Nice thought.
And that all of them, that we think traditionally in terms of someone who's leading a spiritual life as having a vocation, but perhaps everyone has a vocation. There is a sacred element to whatever it is that you're doing, how you express it, or that you perhaps took on that thing because you felt you were going to give benefit, you were going to right wrongs, you were going to please people, whatever it was, you know, that,
yeah.
that there was some noble intent there at the base of it. It could have gotten diverted. It could be a long way from that beginning point now.
Those, the people in the landmark seminars, was asked in the forum, talk about a winning formula. And that is where if we learn to be charming, or if we learn to be quick or clever as a child to get what we needed,
yes.
we often carry it into adulthood.
Yes.
To the detriment of the here and now.
Yes.
So sometimes, perhaps you've met someone who can't ever be serious because his winning formula is being
mm-hmm.
funny.
Yes.
Or someone who her winning formula was being cute.
Yes.
But now at a later age, she's no longer 3 years
anymore.
Old. She's not
yes.
cute anymore.
Yes.
So sometimes that's where we forgot that the mask was just a mask.
Yes.
It was just a tool.
And along those lines, I'm thinking of another situation.
Yeah.
And that is where, because you were deprived of something as a child, and it could have been because you were, you know, wherever you fell in the family, or it could have been in terms of that you were the minority in a situation
yeah.
or whatever, and then you had to employ some kind of guile
right.
to get your needs met, so to speak, and could have been any of those things, the charming or using
yeah.
your wiles or whatever else. And and yes, you may fool some of the people,
mm-hmm.
but in another way, there will be others who will balk at what they see as that
yeah.
inauthenticity. And then where you started, that rejection you started with, you're actually setting yourself up for it
again.
For
failure later on.
Yeah, for more rejection.
So there's two things that jump in my mind as you're saying that. One is, these things really do form, these winning formulas or these masks that we put on habitually,
mm-hmm.
form in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of itself, even though it is a form of guile, it's just a little child trying to get what he or
that's
she
right,
wants.
That's right, exactly.
The most innocent of motivations
that's
is
right.
I'm helping to figure out who I am in
yes.
this crazy world.
Yes.
But the other thing is our ability to let go of that,
mm-hmm.
of to say, I don't need that. When
exactly.
I was a child, I spoke as a child, etc.
Yes,
from
exactly.
Biblical things.
Yes.
Now we give away, set aside childish things.
Yes.
Maybe that's what authenticity is.
Perhaps it is, yeah, the innocence.
Yeah.
And that certainly is a state that in meditation that we aim to return to. And so this aspect of the masks, it's almost like as if you're standing on the stage and you decide to turn your back on the audience
uh-huh.
and to drop the mask, if you like. You're no longer even thinking about the rest of the cast that may be on the stage with you.
Yeah.
And it's a very necessary thing, I think, for all of us. And not least, if you find yourself in a public situation,
mm-hmm.
then this kind of anonymity,
yeah.
that the silence or the stillness gives you is very, very essential. And so that going into meditation, you're going to a place, not where your story changes. We're not talking about changing the story beyond that which you spoke about when you're a child and you employ
mm-hmm.
these things to get what you need. But you're giving up all of the roles that you are aware of, that you have
mm-hmm.
played, and that you're going back in time, it would seem, in this silence, to a dimension where there was no script, where you didn't have a script, you did not call yourself even by a name, let alone by a nationality or a religion or a culture or a profession or any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the attempt is to see yourself the way that God sees you. And God doesn't see the role, God sees the soul.
Exactly. So what I'm hearing you say is, the nice thing about meditation is you're not performing of
That's
sorts.
That's right.
You've turned your back yeah. to the audience.
Yeah.
So maybe one of the big secrets of knowing, yeah, I've got a mask and I sometimes put it on because I need to do this.
Yes.
And I need to be the boss sometimes,
right.
so I'll make a decision. But maybe the true key to having freedom is that I know that I'm not my mask, because in meditation I am so quiet.
That's right.
That I don't have the need to put it on.
Yes.
And the story moves way back in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in that moment of bliss.
Yes.
Ideally getting
yes.
to that thing.
And that silence then, you know, can even be the backdrop of my life in a sense. And so one of the things that makes us put on masks is fears.
Uh-huh.
You know, fear of rejection, a fear of not being accepted, not being good enough.
Uh-huh.
All of these things. So I have to look the part, you know, at least, you
right.
know, I might be able to convince people that I'm much more confident than I really feel inside or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if my props... You know, if I don't have the cool car, the nice house, then
yes.
who am I? People
yes.
won't think it's just me.
Right, exactly.
On the other hand, who we really can reach out to and trust are those people that we feel are authentic.
Authentic.
And it isn't really the accoutrements of success or fame or
no.
what have you. It's just being.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see even, you know, sometimes with children, it may not be the little goody two-shoes that gets the attention or whatever, but it's the one who's naughty. But because there's something authentic, the other one may be trying too hard, and rather than getting the attention, people don't even look her way.
Exactly.
Whereas it's the one that's a little bit more, and I don't just mean in a superficial way, outgoing, but is more real,
yeah.
you know, that you're going to resonate with.
So it's not the good behavior, it's being driven by the should monster.
That's
if
right.
If I waver from what I
That's
consider
right.
to be the straightest of the straight and narrow,
yes.
then my world will fall apart.
Yes, yeah.
So a good authentic, well, in mass communications, one of the things we understand is when a national newscaster makes a pratfall, makes a mistake.
He becomes human.
He becomes human and his
TV
ratings go up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I exactly.
mean, it's
exactly.
like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
He made a mistake and people like him more.
Right. And I've seen it myself sometimes even in watching people give lectures or whatever. And you do have to give something of yourself. And so people first want to see that there's some similarity, you know, that
uh-huh.
they have something in common, and they see then that perhaps you're real. And then they'll say, okay, take me higher now.
Yeah.
Take me a little bit further or a little bit deeper. I trust you because you are. I see that you relate to me, that you're not making
you're
out
one of
like
us.
As if you, exactly, that you're
So it's not
perfect.
The separation.
Yes, it's not the separation.
I think humor is one of those things, and I'm not talking about always being funny. That's
yes.
another mask.
Yes.
But the ability to be self-effacing and laugh
yes.
at ourselves.
Yes.
That may be the easiest way to at least temporarily remove a mask. To say, whoops.
I think so. And also I have found myself that if, say, for instance, I am being other than I'd like to be, I may be getting annoyed or something,
yeah.
and the other person is able to make some
diffuse
lightness,
it.
Diffuse it, then I instantly come back. We're on the same
yeah.
page again.
So somewhere there is, each of us is the soul
That's
connected
right.
at some level.
Yes.
And to keep the game interesting, maybe we have a whole bunch of outfits
yes.
of masks that
yes.
we put on occasionally
yes.
and we, just like children doing dress up.
Yes.
The important thing is that we not lose sight that we are that basic goodness underneath the mask.
That's right. The expression that we sometimes use is be soul conscious, not role conscious.
Ah, very
yes.
nice. That's a nice way to move off of our whole topic tonight.
Okay.
Thank you,
thank
Veronica.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us tonight.